And I'm going to talk about something that God's been talking to me for quite some time. And I recently listened to a podcast and it put language to exactly what God was saying. So I'm going to share a few thoughts about that. And we're going to journey together in that for a few minutes. Who's ever felt in their relationship with God, who's ever felt that they've come to that place where they just feel something is missing? I'll clarify what I'm saying. In your relationship, in your growth with God, you might be in a season, maybe you've been there, maybe there's one to come, but you feel like if you could just pull out this relationship with God and put it under the microscope, put it under examination, and have a look if there's an element missing. Maybe you read the Bible and you see a difference between your life and what God did with amazing men and women. Maybe you bump into people and they're just so passionate and on fire for God. And when you look in the mirror, you think, and when you look at your relationship with God, you think, is there an element missing? Who's ever felt that like that? Only Gwen, all right. But oftentimes we feel like that. And sometimes we just feel, what is it? Maybe you can't even put your finger on it, but there's something, just an element there that's missing, or you're not sure. I want to propose tonight that I'm going to talk about something that I believe will nail exactly what we often go through. And tonight we're going to have a talk about that. And it's this very topic that Jesus never came to make your life safe. Jesus never came to make your life safe as his primary purpose. Jesus' primary purpose was to do the will of the Father, which was a life of reconciliation, which was a life of seeking and saving those who were lost, a life of bringing the Father's love and forgiveness to a broken humanity. Oftentimes, in that process, people did feel safe, but it was not his emphasis. It was not Jesus' goal to make people safe. Let me clarify, when I use this word safe, security, I'm not meaning, we all understand that Jesus holds us, he has us all in the palm of his hands. I'm not talking about that. We'll be, because in relationship with God as our everlasting, almighty, powerful Father and God, we can feel secure and safe. But there's often things in our lives that we put in place to gain that sense of security, to gain that sense of safetiness, if that's a word. Tonight I want to have a talk about the fact that Jesus, his primary purpose was not to make us feel secure and make us feel safe. Who thinks that's a good word tonight? All right. It's great. Recently, a few months ago, I decided to sell my work ute because my working conditions had slightly changed and I decided to downgrade. So I was selling my BT50 ute that I had, and initial thoughts was that I would downgrade to a dunger, just a car that would just drive me around, just one of those ones that just gets you from A to B. And I spoke to Rach. Luckily, I spoke to Rach, and I said, we discussed about it, and we thought, let's get a four-wheel drive so we can go camping, we can go on the beach, all this type of thing. Let's just buy a dunger. And we can just, we don't have to worry about it. We can just give it a hiding if we need to, and it'll just get me around. Anyway, so who's ever been on car sales when you type in the amount you want to spend, and you might put the range between like 0 and 5 grand or something? Then all these cars that are higher than that keep popping in, and they look really great, and you think, oh, just an extra grand, why not? Anyway, I ended up buying a 100 series Land Cruiser, which was a bit more than the dunger that I had planned on buying. It's a V8, which I love. But anyway, I was driving along Morrowfield Road, and who here knows a store called ARB? ARB is like the bloke's version of DFO for women. Women, don't shake your head because we know what you're like at DFO. But ARB is this awesome place to kit out your four-wheel drive and all the goodies you can imagine. Anyway, so I'm driving along. I pull into ARB. I go and talk to the bloke in there and I said, look, I want to lift the front up a bit. I want to put some decent tyres on it, something that's got a bit of grunt, got a bit of bite to it. And he goes, what type of car do you have? I told him. He said, you wouldn't believe this. He said, I own a black 100 series Land Cruiser. I said, that's my car. He said, you would not believe it. I drove it to work today. So I said, come on, let's go have a look. So we went out in the car park, and here it is jacked right up with like a 4-inch lift on it. It had big mud tires on it, flares on the wheel, arches. It had this big exhaust, rock sliders, everything. This awesome paint job. And he was explaining all this stuff he had done on his car. And in my mind, I'm just picturing all those goodies on mine. And I asked him one question, one silly question. Actually, I asked him two silly questions. The second silly question was how much, but the first silly question I asked was how does it handle on the road? And he was mid-sentence, he's explaining. All of a sudden I said, how does this car handle on the road? And he looked at me weird, he was perplexed. He looked at me and said, what? And I said, yeah, how does it handle on the road? And he just looked at me like I was an idiot. And he said, this car is not designed for the road. This car is designed for jumping on rocks, out in the bush, out in the beach. And oftentimes, we have this thought as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that a comfortable lifestyle fits within the framework of Christianity. But Christianity was never designed to be comfortable. Just like this guy decked out this four-wheel drive, it was never designed to go on the road. And he actually said, if you drive this thing on the road, it's terrible. He said, it's jerky, it's hard, the suspension's set up hard, you know, the diffs and all that are carrying on. And he said, this thing's an absolute pig to drive on the road. But he said, get it out on the bush where it's designed to be, that's what it's designed for. And tonight I want to talk about this very thing about us wanting this sense of security, us creating things around our lives that give us that sense of security. And sometimes we view our relationship with God as Christians with something that has to fit within the framework of safe. And oftentimes, you might be like me in past where I've been frustrated, I've been annoyed, I've been aggravated because my relationship with God is not where I want it to be, but yet I'm living in this framework of safety. I'm living in this framework of Jesus came into my life, He changed my life, but He has come to make sure my appointments stay right, I end up with a great retirement, and that nothing goes wrong in my life, just safety. Tonight, Jesus never came to pronounce that He was going to give us a safe life. He came on mission. He came on mission to reveal the Father heart to humanity, to reveal love and forgiveness. He never came to give this impression, this emphasis on this life that was safe. And tonight I want to say that if you're viewing life in the framework of safety, if you're viewing your relationship with God in that framework, then you'll end up frustrated. You'll end up disgruntled because it just doesn't fit together. It doesn't mean that we don't end up safe and security, but what it means is the emphasis is not on that. Who owns a Volvo here? Good. Celeste, can you put up that first photo? This is a pretty nice car. I only found this out a few weeks ago, but Volvos are the safest. They tell me they're the safest car. They're known by their safety. This is a pretty new Volvo. And they're decked out with airbags. I believe if you run that into a brick wall, you're not going to die. You'll be a paraplegic, but you'll still be alive. You might end up pretty messed up, but that will keep your heart pumping, that car. They're that safe. They're decked out with everything. And this is the car that represents safety. This is a car that represents a safe driving experience. Even for those of us, and we know who they are, that get their license and we beep the horns at them, and we think, why the hell are you on the road? This is a car for them. It's safe. This will give you a great driving experience. Can you put up the next photo, please? This here is not safe. This monster truck is not designed for the road. In fact, if you drove this on the freeway, it would probably rattle and vibrate that much that, I don't know what much. But this car would not be good for general driving. This car is designed for the bush. This vehicle is designed for the dirt and the sand. And like I said before, sometimes we're living this Christian experience that is like we're driving a Volvo. We're living this Christian experience that is, our emphasis is totally on about this safe journey. Make sure we're in our seat. Make sure we got the airbags around us. Make sure that whatever happens, whatever brick wall we hit, we're not going to die. But I believe, this is not in the Bible, this is my opinion, I believe that the Christian life, that a relationship with God looks more like a monster truck. It looks more like this thing where this is what we were designed for. This is what we were designed for, to be out in the elements. And Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. He came to reveal the Father's heart. Thanks, Celeste. A few months ago, I shared a passage from John, and it was about the disciples before they were followers of Jesus. They were out in their boat. Does anyone remember this? They were out in their boat. Before Jesus called them, he said to them, push your boat out, throw your nets out. And they did that, and they had such a catch of fish that they filled two boats full of fish. And remember, the ironic thing is that as they dragged those boats on the shore, Jesus said, now, follow me. And their response to the pinnacle of their career, the pinnacle of the thing they had worked for all their life, two boats full of fish, they turned their backs on and they followed Jesus. They turned their backs on and let the fish rot. They let the fish stink because they had seen someone who was worth pursuing. They followed Jesus into their destiny. It's ironic. And here in John chapter 21, I won't read it for the sake of time, but John chapter 21, Jesus has died. He's been risen from the dead. He appears. His disciples, they're fearing that they're going to be killed as well. They're hiding behind locked doors. And all of a sudden, Peter says, how about we go back fishing? They're out in the boat and they're throwing the nets out all night and it says they catch nothing. Now, this is what is ironic, is that Jesus turns up and it's nearly exactly the same story. Jesus yells out and says, have you caught any fish? They say, no, they don't recognize him at this point. He says, throw your net out on the right side. All of a sudden, these blokes that have been disgruntled. Can you imagine the feel of betrayal as Jesus has been killed? He's appeared to them, but they see is the unknown before them. And so these seven blokes, these seven disciples who are disgruntled, head out on a fishing trip. Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine with seven blokes disgruntled, dismayed, annoyed in a boat, there wouldn't have been much talking going on. Maybe for women, when women get together and they're annoyed and angry or whatever, there's a lot of chatter going on. I've been in those circumstances. But for blokes, it would have just been heads down and not saying a word. It would have just been the sound of throwing out that net, pulling it back in, throwing out that net, pulling it back in, catching nothing. And here Jesus turns up. He says again, throw your net out on the other side. All of a sudden they pull in this net. And John the author says, it is the Lord. And then we know Peter's emotions take over and he jumps out of the boat and starts swimming for the shore. But the point is that Jesus comes and meets them when they've gone back to what was natural to them. It's so often as Christians, as followers of Jesus, when the future looks unclear, when we don't know where to go, we so often retreat, we pull back, and we go back to the thing that is most natural to us. Tonight, the Lord wants to encourage us not to pull back. He wants to encourage us tonight that rather than retreating, rather than going back to that thing that you always run back to, He wants to give us new hope to step forward into the unknown tonight, because that's the way that we step into our destiny. That is the way that we will reach this community for God. Felicity said it this morning, but I don't know if you've looked around. This place isn't full, which means that we have to start not just running back to what we've done before, but when we come against the unknown, it's about stepping out in faith. It's about going, God, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what the unknown looks like, but I'm pushing forward. I'm not going to go back to that thing that naturally my default mode, that thing that I've always done, and go back to fishing or whatever it is, but I'm going to move forward. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe there's some relationships tonight that God is speaking to your heart and He says, don't go back to that relationship. You always do that. That's your default mode, those relationships, those toxic relationships. Move forward into the unknown. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's the area of finances. Well, I've never given extraordinary like that before. And we cripple down in fear and we run back to what we've known when God is wanting to lead us into something so much more. If God tells you to sell your house and give the money somewhere, do it. And you might say, well, where's my security for the future? Look up. We've got to believe God. We've got to believe that God has more for us. Because oftentimes we stand around, we sit around in this framework of safety when God has never come. He never came to the planet. He never desires, He never initiated a relationship with you to make your life safe. And I'm all for getting advice for the future, financial advice, all that stuff, cars, houses, everything. But the emphasis is about fulfilling the mission of God. And the mission of God is revealing the Father's love and forgiveness for humanity. tonight as we just spend a moment, just think about what is the Holy Spirit saying right now to you? Chris, would you just come up as we finish? Thanks. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you tonight? What things have you stepped back in fear and you've run back to the way you've always done things? Maybe it's fear of sharing the gospel, that fear of man, and I've tried that before and it doesn't work. Tonight, God wants to say, look up. Don't let your past dictate your future. Look up. We're just going to spend a few moments just in prayer as God continues to speak to our hearts. You know, these disciples, these fishermen, they were ordinary people like you and me. That encounter with God that day when Jesus saw them and he called them, and then later on when that same scenario played out, it turned these guys who were once cowering in fear behind locked doors. It sent guys who were crippled by wanting a sense of security and safety into guys where 10 out of 11 of the disciples all died as martyrs. There was something in that moment that changed in their life, that they decided no more with a life that's filled with trying to grab at security and safety. They finally got a glimpse. They finally saw what Jesus was all about. And oftentimes we get consumed in our lives. Society tells us we must prepare for the future. Society tells us you must gather as much wealth as you can for a rainy day. And that's fine, but don't put your trust in the bucket of money. Look up. Don't put your trust in a relationship where you find purpose. Don't put your trust in what you do at work and your purpose. Put your trust in God. These are all great things. Recreation, great stuff. But don't put your trust in it. Put your trust in God. These guys changed the world. 11 people, they changed the world. Who knows, our community needs changing. We're here at church. I think I can proudly say that we're not here to make your life safe, in that sense of the word. We're here on the mission of Jesus. He's looking for those who will put their hand up and say yes. Although my life may end up secure and safe, in whatever way, that's not my emphasis, that's not my priority, that's not my goal. He's looking for people that will say, my goal is a follower of Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, as the Father sent me, I send you. Just think about those words for a little while. As the Father sent me, I send you. He wasn't just saying, the things that I'm doing that the Father told me to do, I'm going to do. He says, the very how the Father has sent me, I send you. Look at the life of Jesus. We know that right at the end of his life, in that garden when he was praying, there was nothing safe, there was nothing security about his physical life. Let's be sent ones. Let's be sent ones that are on the mission of Jesus. Let's not be a church that's known for its safety. Let's not be a church that's known for putting all the elderly people into great retirement packages. Although that's awesome. But let's be a church that is about the mission of Jesus. Let's be a church that at the core of us, burning deep within us, is to reveal the heart of the Father, the love and the forgiveness that He shows. Let's be a church that actually can proudly say, we are followers of Jesus. And when you read through the story of Jesus, when you read through the gospel, we would fit into that category. Just before we finish up, maybe you're here tonight and you've never experienced what I'm talking about, this relationship with God, this awesome relationship with Jesus. We're just going to spend a moment as everybody closes their eyes. It's an amazing thing where not until we invite this free gift into our life, Jesus Christ into our life, that we actually become alive. Our spirit person becomes alive to Christ. And if you're sitting here tonight and maybe you're like I was and you're feeling like there's a disconnect, there's a deadness, there's a disengagement with God, that's because He's offering this awesome gift of Himself. And it is yours tonight by faith. So right now across this place, if we're just going to finish and pray. If that's you and you don't know Jesus, if tonight you receive this gift, this invitation of Jesus to come into your life, forgive your sins, give you a new start, for you to be a follower of Jesus, just raise your hand just quickly and put it down. I'll include you in a prayer tonight. The most powerful decision you'll ever make is to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've been in church for a while, but you've never made that decision. You're not sure. There's uncertainty in your life. Tonight, Jesus offers this invitation for you. Just raise your hand and put it back down and we'll include you in a prayer. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? Anyone else before we go? Who wants to say yes to Jesus? Let's all pray this prayer together. Jesus, I give you my life. I thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking away my sin. Thank you for your forgiveness. And tonight, I'm going to live the rest of my life for you. Amen. Let's give those people a hand that made that decision. That's awesome.